Jeremy. We have quorum, but is Scott coming? Should we wait for him?
I hope so, but we can get started without him if we need to.
All right.
I guess we can get started without him whether we need to or not.
All right, I suppose we don't really need the formal project introduction. I think everyone remembers from our last meeting just a couple weeks ago. All right, well, we have enough board members here. With that, I'll call to order the May 21st edition of the Design Review Board hearing. Can we begin with roll call, please?
Carolyn Adams, Brad Brown.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen, Navina Lukanova.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
All right. I suppose reading approval of minutes. We've got Totem Lake Apartments back for a design response conference. We also have some previews. Actually, that the drafts, I don't know if the rest of the board had a chance to review previous minutes, but I think we'll be reviewing those and approving those at the end of the meeting today. Otherwise, before we begin with the design review or the design response conference, if any member of the public has an item they would like to discuss that's not on the agenda tonight, feel free to come up to the podium. Otherwise, Scott, I think you can kick us off.
Hi, board. This is a follow-up to the meeting a couple weeks ago related to the Terrain Totem Lake Apartments. You might recall that the board had several items to bring back, would like the applicant to bring back. Specifically, we had some items related to the building massing, related to the roof line of the northwest corner, and also the along the white frames and their relationship on the east and west elevations to the wood panels. And then the vertical, then also the vertical modulation depth. The board was interested in reviewing some options on the panel, window frames, and trim options. There was some discussion about building massing, building material color and details, in between the relation, the kind of the relationship between the colors and the lower, the ground floor and the upper floor. What is more discussion was needed. And the upper floor contrast, colors, more contrast in the upper floors was also discussed. And then the ground floor brickwork work refinement was asked for. And then related to the pedestrian orientation, this is where a lot of the discussion was. And a lot of it was about the plaza, the confusion around what is public, what is private. It's the artwork that's in there, the through block pathway, and its connectivity, the sidewalk clutter on 128th, and the north entrance and being flat and wanting some kind of modulation there. And that would be, I think that was everything that you wanted the applicant to respond to. With that, I would invite the applicant to come up.
Hello, Diana Keyes, Johnson Brandt. We're here to revisit the design that we presented 2 weeks ago. And as Scott said, we're down to some fairly minor building massing, colorations, and then the bigger changes are in our pedestrian plaza and our street frontage. So what we uploaded with the time frame that we had last week was the elevations and renderings. So pretty much the building massing and not any of the plaza. So you do have a complete updated packet in front of you that we brought today. And in this packet, we also show some of the design exploration or the options that we took to get to our preferred scheme, whereas the one that we uploaded before was just our preferred scheme. So we'll skip through most of this and just go directly to the items specifically that were brought up and how we've responded to them. So this, I'm on page 21, and this is our site plan. I just wanted to point out some shifts in our site plan that have helped resolve some of the issues. Our shared driveway, as I mentioned at our last meeting, has shifted 8 feet to the south. So that helps alleviate some of the concerns that folks had about the base of the stair and being right at the driveway intersection. Now there's an 8-foot buffer of landscape between. That was, like I said last time, was already in the works as we were coordinating with the adjacent civil engineer to get grades to work out for our driveway crossing on the shared driveway. We've reworked in the packet. Further in the packet, we'll go through two options for the plaza and some of the refinements that we've taken into consideration at the resident porch and how that relates and kind of that clarification between public and private space. And then we've also looked at the frontage with modulation. And again, a lot of these are very subtle changes, but I think they do make a big difference responding to your comments. So I'm on page 23 now. The board previously had noted that the benches and the planters that we had were outboard of our building structure, therefore cluttering or restricting the movement zone in the sidewalk. So what we did as a response to that, as well as a response to adding more brick detailing or looking at brick detailing, is we actually pulled out the brick at each one of the storefront elements to create a recess for where a bench or a planter can now be tucked into and freeing up that sidewalk zone and the zone underneath the canopy. We also recessed the building entry in and added two columns on either side of it. And you'll see these in the renderings as we come up. So we've recessed the entry in and then flanked it on either side with a column. So that combined with some of the other cues that we have with paving change and canopy change and signage help emphasize the building entry. Again, that's consistent along the entire 128th frontage. We have, like I said, a couple options for a plaza that we'll see in more detail as we go through the packet. But one of the key elements that we looked at here was the relationship of the more private resident porch and the public pocket park plaza. And we looked at shifting the position of the fireplace to the corner. And again, it shows up much better in the renderings about how that really helps separate or clarify what's residential and what's public. So we'll look at those as we get further in more detail in the packet. The upper floors, really no changes. In regards to the comments regarding building material and color, there were a lot of comments from the board, some folks who quite liked the warmer scheme that we had and also liked the contrast with the white. So we took a more subtle approach to this to look at just ways to help pop and add contrast and crispness. It's a little hard to see in this elevation. Again, we'll see it in the renderings. But one of the things that we did was we changed our window frame from the adobe vinyl color, which was pretty much the same color as this panel here, to white. And that really helps to provide contrast throughout the building. It also helps tie the white frames that we have on the corners throughout the rest of the building. And we've got the color material board over here on the chair where you can see the white and how it's the crisp contrast. The other thing we did is we changed, before we had different window trims based on what field of panel that it happened to occur upon. And in this packet now, we've made the trim all the porpoise color, so this middle gray. And again, that really helps pop out, adds more contrast against the white frame and against the other tones that we have. Adding that dark color also helps tie some of our darker base elements up through the building. And again, it'll show better in the renderings that come here at the end of the packet. This view down here shows that separation that I was talking about regarding the driveway door and the base of the stair. We looked at several options, which we'll see in the next upcoming slides, about how the east facade massing, roofline, how the building meets the sky there. So again, looking at, this is showing our preferred scheme. And I'll jump to the renderings, because again, they should tell the story a bit better. Really, the major change on page 37 for the wall sections is that pulling out of the brick column to create that recessed entry and the recesses along 128th. Okay, so this is responding to several of the board's guidance. One was in regards to the white brow as it goes over the recessed corner. So really looking at how the building meets the sky at this corner. So this is what we presented before at our DRC meeting. And we looked at a couple of different options. One was breaking the corner and putting one of the similar projecting roofline fins over the corner, and doing the same along the east or the west facade. Another was breaking that spanning element together and having two vertical boxes and adding like a sunscreen element of some sort and breaking the roof line here so that the wood tone goes all the way through. In doing that study, we felt pretty strongly that what we had shown before actually is more successful. In that the corner element reads more as one larger mass as opposed to three separate parts. So it's one mass with the recessed balcony. And this northwest corner element is repeated along the south end of our building, which the board noted previously that they quite liked how that looked and how that prow corner looked. And I think a key piece to that prow is the is that white band. So in this scheme, for the northwest corner and the west facade, we left that where it was. And again, that was consistent. I really, in reading or listening back through the commentary from the last meeting, it was really one board member who reacted to that corner. Others had different opinions on that. The other element that we looked at was the how to reduce some of the flatness in these facades. And again, when we get to the larger rendering, you'll be able to see that by changing that window trim to white, the window frame to white, and the window trim darker, it adds more contrast to that field, providing more depth. So this is the rendering of that with the subtle changes that we talked about making. So here you can really see how having that white frame and dark trim helps break up that facade where it no longer reads all the same and flat. And then those darker trims start tying into what's happening with the darker elements down below. Again, these are the southwest corner elements I was talking about that the board quite liked at our last meeting. And whatever we would have done to the northwest corner would need to have been repeated as a design language around the building. And those elements, we believe, are successful. I did want to point out that one other item that we added, just as a subtle change, is we added a trim band across here, which just helped with some of the proportion of the frame. So a subtle change there. The east facade was the other comment that we got regarding how those white frames spanned across the recessed, and wanting us to look at that and explore the relationship between these areas here. First option we looked at, I realized that in our last presentation, these windows were actually not at the correct window head height. So this is just showing if we raise them up a foot to the raised window head height, it reduces that height some, and it would be the same as the west facade. The next option we looked at was breaking those brow elements and introducing the projected soffits in between. And I have to admit that that does actually help lighten this facade some, but it also introduces a new element that we don't have anywhere else in the building, which is this vertical wood without any balconies or bays. So the next progression of those options, and what we're calling as our preferred scheme, is going ahead and introducing, being consistent with the language that's happening along the east and south facades by having the wood attic story and introducing the middle panel and two stories of the darker color. By raising up this bay as well, it helps kind of make it a secondary element to the white corners here. So we raised those up a story, added projecting soffit and the attic story. So this is in the design exploration what we felt was a good solution to the board's comments. And that's how it looks in the larger rendering. Along this edge, we have two videos, or we have a video walkthrough here, which helps you see the recesses a little bit better than we see in these still renderings, so we'll run through those. But on this facade, the majority of changes are those recessed storefronts to clear up the movement and storefront zone. So again, this is going back to the view across from 128th and how just introducing those subtle elements of window color and trim helps with the flatness, and introducing white helps with the contrast, linking in the white band that we have on top, the white frame, now to those window frames. So it's crisper and more contrast than what we were previously showing. Again, we've made some changes along the base at this corner. We'll go through that more in the plaza pages. So these are those streetscape views, where our movement zone is now clear, benches are recessed, planters are recessed along that entire frontage, and the flanking columns that we added to the entry, and we pushed the entry back. Okay, this is in a response to the comments in wanting us to clarify the relationship between the public and plaza, public and private, at the plaza and at our resident porch. So one of the key changes that we made, again, this is what we presented before, and this is what we're presenting now, was mirroring the entry into the residential porch and the fireplace. So by doing that, the fireplace and the seating grouping is now brought forward towards the streetscape, towards that sidewalk, to be more visible and draw people in. And the entry into that more private residential porch is now secondary from the corner. We also looked at different ways to screen and buffer that porch. We have plantings that we've introduced, again, in those recessed bays to soften and buffer that edge to help to, distinct between public and private. We've changed the fireplace design some to lighten it up and be more interesting, more unique character as opposed to just screens in a frame. And in the, we've also worked with how the actual separation of the porch is going to work. In this case, we have a screen in the middle. We have some floating glass behind the planters. And we actually have a gate that at night will be able to be closed, and that'll help with any potential concerns with homeless or folks sleeping in that nice protected area. So it helps with security, but I also think it also helps with this sense of separation. One of the other comments had to do with the festival lighting that we had before, the string lights, and how perhaps that was a little confusing in discerning between public and private. We had placed it there in trying to create an outdoor room, but by having it there, it feels less open and therefore less public. So in our proposed scheme now, we've removed that festival lighting. We also had large screens that we were using as a buffering element to the driveway, as well as a kind of an art component that was not well received because it didn't feel like any art, that it was just a panel. And what we're proposing now, we have a couple of different options, but we've reduced, in this particular option, we've reduced those screens to narrow 18-inch wide tall totems. So using them as totems, as wayfinding elements to cue the public to go into the plaza, and we've used them also along the pedestrian pathway, the mid-block crossing as we go down through the project. In the two options that we'll see, we have different plaza hardscape and paving patterns that we can go through. This is the view from inside the resident porch, so this is what we had before. So again, the opening on the corner and the new shifted position of the fireplace. So these are one of the schemes for the plaza. It's very similar to what we had shown before, with the exception of what we just talked about with the fireplace shifting location. We've changed the orientation of the benches. Before, the benches faced into the plaza, and now they face onto the street, and we've added the totems. And in this picture here, we can't render it in every view, but what we're thinking on these totems is that they are similar material and color to the rest of our screens, but they are unique in their cutouts. So a similar pattern with just different openings and cutouts to relate, but also be different and unique. So these are the concept for those totems. And then there was concern about, you know, the access to the stairway or how folks will know to go down the stair. And we talked about kind of the difficulty of having the stair in the waterline easement and needing to push it to that edge in case of any waterline repairs. So that is still a constraint that we need to work with. But I think one thing to consider is that once you get to this point in the plaza, you have a very unique overlook down to what's happening below. Because of the grade change, you can see all the way down to the end of the trail. We've added, it's really hard to see here, but we've added the totems along the way to help connect it up to the plaza. And again, our paving pattern and the direct kind of this more formal nature of the geometry of the plaza lead you to the stairs and down and around. Option two is looking at a different geometry for our plaza and introducing a more curvilineal edge to the plaza, which relates to some of the curves that we have in our art screens. So this is a much less formal, rigorous scheme. Introducing, you know, we have the curved benches that we had at our fireplace grouping, and introducing kind of curved benches that form a seating grouping, as well as kind of leads your eye down to the stairwell and connecting. Similar elements, but rather than a flat screen for the art panel or for these totems, making them a three-dimensional totem. Again, we'd work with an artist fabricator to refine the details of this, but conceptually it's a triangular three-dimensional totem that is uplit inside. Two of the sides are cut laser-cut panels, and one side is a solid colored panel. And they are positioned at the entry, at a grouping, and then down the walkway in three locations. And they turn and rotate, so in some cases you'll see the solid color accent, and others you'll see the screen, and you'll see the color through the screen. And again, as we actually work with an artist fabricator, we'll look at how the tops of these appear, because there's lots of opportunities for, you know, cutting these at an angle and seeing, then you see the color beyond, cutting along the patterns. There's just a lot of opportunity to make these interesting. In this scheme, the curvilinear scheme is contrasted by linear paving, which directs you through the site as well. some of the comments regarding our mid-block pathway was that we needed to refine it to make it more intuitive and to provide continuity, and then review the termination of the stairs at the base of the drive, which we talked about, and review the treatment of this concrete wall. So hopefully in the discussion I just went through, the overlook view, the unique overlook view that we have helps with continuity. The schemes that we have where it's more of a curvilinear or organic plaza form relates to some of the curves that we're introducing through this landscape greenbelt. And again, adding those totem elements along will draw people through the project and relate to the plaza. There was just one comment regarding the form board concrete. We still feel strongly that the form board concrete helps relate to the wood elements that we have on the attic story of our building, at our soffits and at our screens. So we're proposing keeping those. And we feel like the other pedestrian scaled elements that we have with the doorways and canopies and sconce lights along this edge help adding that pedestrian level of detail. And of course the landscape, the tall evergreen landscape that we're providing helps screen that wall as well. Is of the entire length, it is just a short section. Once we get further down to the south, we have the siding and the unit overlooking the pathway. These are just some additional open space views. This is standing at the top of the stair looking down. So you can see the separation to the driveway and the introduction of art totems, depending on what scheme we look at. This is the pathway as we get in with the dog park and the introduction of seating nodes, and again, the art totems that draw you through the space and the screening of the wall. And then the other outdoor open spaces that we previously had that we haven't changed, the fire lane that we're doubling up as an outdoor active recreation space, and then the fire lane as well that we're proposing. Again, these are some of the same details we showed before, but you're seeing the contrast color with the trim, the contrast color with the windows frames, the addition of the trim band at the top here, as well as here to help with scale. So you can see that a little bit more close up, how this having the white frames and the dark trim really does make the building relate to the other white elements and appear more crisp and more contrast. We remove the string lights here. At the entry, you can see the addition of the columns that we added at the entry and pushing the recessing the entry back. And these are just the different ways we're using the screens. This is the matrix. This hasn't changed, showing how we exceed the code-required public improvements for that additional height. And with that, I'll turn it over to Roby for the landscape discussion.
Hello, I'm Roby Snow with the LA Studio, and I'll just kind of rerun through a lot of what Diana spoke about quickly, just to kind of highlight the items that we looked at since our last meeting. But as she said, we worked with them to select, you know, planters that were more rectilinear and narrower, so to open up that sheltered walkway underneath the canopies along the street frontage. The benches that we're proposing are these nicely detailed, E-pave kind of color and finish that really relates to the kind of core tin finish of the art panels that are going to be on the building and in the plaza. And this preferred concept, as she mentioned, is a curvilinear shape. You can see how it has a lot of continuity with the rest of the pedestrian circulation route and these kind of pedestrian seating nodes with the bench and these curved turf panels. It's very kind of a garden-esque, you know, feel along this green belt. I think it'll be very inviting. We have in this preferred concept, the cluster that you saw of art that's kind of a focal element for the plaza and the, it's like a 8-inch by 4-foot long paver that really pulls you in. It kind of extends out into the main walkway and pulls you into the public plaza. A nice public, sized elongated bench that kind of reflects the shape of the plaza. And so one point I'd like to make is that, I think the requirement was 178 square feet for a pedestrian plaza. This is more like in the 600 to 700 square foot range. So we're more than double the required square footage. And likewise on pedestrian seating, I think the required seating is 41 linear feet, and we're like over 100. So we've tried to really push, those requirements and exceed those requirements as much as we can. And that, that includes benches in the plaza and along the pedestrian walkway. And working with, Lennar, to more than double the size of the dog park. And again, it doesn't show on this exhibit, but this paving pattern and the scoring, how the tighter pattern relates to the building and then accentuates the entry, is very reflective of what's going on with Lennar. So that whole street scene and street frontage is very consistent. Same street trees as well. The rest of the landscape, as Diana mentioned, we have the same, evergreen, larger shrubs to screen and buffer and soften some of the blank concrete walls. And we've repeated the landscape palette throughout. It's a nice mix of native and Northwest adaptive ornamentals and evergreen, perennials. Along the back, and we have a few trees, to help, pull down the height of the building and buffer that a little bit from neighbors to the south. And the landscape along the around the patios is very kind of a private patio, garden type look and effect. This is some other examples of the paving patterns for this concept, and this relates more to the roof terrace, these pedestal pavers, and some of the detailing and amenities on the roof terrace. This is more clearly shows the contrast in a preferred concept. This was the original with the modifications, showing how we turned the benches, and we still have the art panels in here that are narrowed up, more customized, so that they have a real totem. They're taller, they're narrower, and they have a custom cutout. So, and the way that those are placed, to really bring you in to the plaza, as she mentioned, to the lookout, and then to have those repeating along the path at the pedestrian seating nodes. We feel like that just adds a lot of continuity to this whole linear and green space. And these, again, are just, some of the other details, repeating of the fireplace and some of the other hardscape details. I think that's really, this is just a, this sheet hasn't changed our plant palette. And then this was just a the tree salvage plan. Sorry.
So I'm going to go ahead and run through quickly the videos. So these are short videos just showing the changes to the streetscape and the... So this is the first option, just the subtle changes to the previous, the more formal plaza. So here you can see the columns that have pulled out to create the recesses, how we've recessed in the entry, added the columns on either side. So the entry is free of the planters and benches for emphasis of what's happening inside. Some of the changes that we've made to the screening at the porch. So opening up that a little bit more so it's not quite as closed off, but it is secured with the glass panes, recessing in the planters, having that planters along the entire edge to help soften and buffer the edge, also to add more greenscape into the plaza. The benches turned to face the street and the tall totems. And then that unique overlook that you get at the top of the stairs, looking down and seeing the additional, you can basically see all the amenities down below. Let's see, sorry, confusing myself here. This is option two. So this part of the video is the same. Let me scroll this here. So in this case, instead of the flat screens at the plaza, you start seeing these three-dimensional totem elements that are taller and have dimension, and the paving pattern changes to the linear pattern. The edge of the landscaping is curvilinear. The grouping of totems in the middle that you can actually get up close to and stand by, sit by, draw you in through the space, along with a curved, unique curved bench. And again, the overlook down the plaza where we have those additional totems. And again, as we work with an actual fabricator, the height of the totems, the top of the totems can all be much more unique than what we've modeled here. Oops. So if anyone has any questions, we can go ahead and open it up for questions.
Yeah, well, that's questions from the board.
Just since we're talking about the public plaza, just to make sure I understand it right, your preferred option is option two.
It's open for discussion. So again, there's whether or not there's one's more definitely more formal than the other. I guess we kind of felt like the curvilinear one and. And again, you can mix and match. You can add the three-dimensional totems and the more formal one. But if we felt like the curvilinear one has a little bit more interest, it's a little bit less rigid. Our building is, you know, fairly geometric, very straight lines. And so we felt like the curvilinear one helped relate to the artistic screens and relate to the curvilinear pathway we have down below. It just kind of softened it. It felt more interesting. So that was this one.
Okay.
I also felt like it has a little bit more opportunity for group seating groupings as opposed to just individual benches that are more formal. So.
That was just my one quick question, shooting from the hip there.
I have a question on the, as we go down the walkway. My recollection was the Lennar big boxy garbage recycling thing was going to be a real green element. Mm-hmm. In here, I mean, it's just a few feet away from our walkway, but it just is a gray box. Are we still thinking it's going to be
It's on the Lennar project. It's already approved, so it will be. It has a green roof, and it has green screens.
Green stuff growing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We just didn't model any of the other previously approved stuff.
The gates on the front are disguised still as chain link or metal.
Whatever was
gates.
Previously okay. approved, yes.
Okay.
And you can see it here in this view, see, right? We're just showing it as the white box, and our pathway is out here.
Okay.
But this will be the vertical green screen and the green roof on top, and the doors are on this face.
Okay. My only other question is, so the storefronts, did the, other than the entry, the storefront glazing stayed where it was, and we just kind of moved the brick out where those
square? It's a combination of both. So we have a 10-foot setback required from our property line. Our building is not parallel to our property line because of the angle of the street. Mm-hmm. So where we could pull out the brick, we did some. So I think we pulled out the brick about a foot, and we pushed the storefront in about 6 to 8 inches. So it's a combination of both. The other thing, by pulling out the columns a foot, it helped capture these projecting bays a bit better than what we had before.
Okay. So we have as much or more walkway?
Oh, yeah. You have more because of, yeah, the weep. Okay. It was a give and take.
Right.
Did the canopies come out accordingly?
The canopies came out accordingly. So the canopies spring from the brick columns. Okay. So it's still 5 feet from the brick columns. So now you have a full 5-foot canopy that is free for the walking, the movement zone that's encroached upon by the planters and benches.
So the brick columns here, the brick heights are small, whereas on the side where we're seeing masonry as well, it's a different structure?
On the side, it's siding. So as we
go
siding,
even at that level?
Yeah.
So masonry is only on the front?
Only on 128th, and along the, as it turns into the plaza, and as it turns on the east end. So it wraps kind of that front bar of the building. And then once we get past that first bar, then it goes to the wide lap siding of the dark color.
It's sort of a trivial question that I was thinking of asking last time. Fire access on the east, how do the hose crews get down and around?
So there will be a ladder, and so we'll have a ladder gate on top.
Okay.
And it's a ladder down that east wall, or the south wall at the east corner.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing for me. You guys have any other questions?
I have one question about the plaza.
Okay.
I really like the option 2, and I really like the way you separated the public from the private in geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but the beautiful curves that you have there, I don't know if it's... corresponds with what happens in the building or not, because all of a sudden you have the curves, and it doesn't, I mean, there's no hint for that anywhere else.
Well, what we were hoping, the hint where it was coming from, was the use of the decorative screens and the curvilinear panel of the screens that we have along the entire 128th streetscape. So we have the large gates at the fire lane, and then over the entry, and then at this corner, at the screen to the porch and the fireplace. So we're hoping that kind of that is the pattern that is being expressed now in plan view as opposed to in an elevation.
So if you soften this with the curve, I think that the 3D art kind of sharpens it again, right? Why did you choose to put the 3D there? If you want to soften this, it's just a curiosity.
I guess maybe it was, I don't know that it was necessarily a conscious decision, but it was, we like the idea of the three-dimensionality of these totems and the fact that they can be pivoted and turned, so sometimes you see a solid color, sometimes you see the open panels, which you would lose if it was a curvilinear shape, like a pole or a post. And I think there's something interesting also about contrast, because we've also paired the curvilineal plaza with a linear paving pattern. So it's kind of a juxtaposition, I guess, of the two. And again, the artwork element can be used in either scheme. But the I guess the design intent of the artwork is that they are no longer screens, but they are totems that become wayfinding elements along 128th as well as down through the mid-block connection. So they're vertical elements that have interest and color. At night, they have some uplight and draw you down. They have enough presence to draw you down through the pathway.
I also have some kind of question slash comment on the this patio area. Mm-hmm. I really like the organic option, and I actually like the contrast between the curves and the sharp totems. It's just something, I know that this is currently a design, pre-design phase for this mm-hmm. art pieces, and I'm really hoping, or maybe just to give you an idea when you're developing it further, that these beautiful features won't become trash collectors and bird traps. To think of how that art piece will be designed so it will still be that airy, transparent feature, but at the same time will prevent all
those things.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But I really like the contrast, and I think that with that curvature, you're kind of even more defining that this is the public space. In contrast of the kind of more rectangular part of the building.
On the color board, there the little insets that we see, the real sharp angle with the white, and then the, so there's a real sort of a higher value orangish pumpkin, and then there's one underneath it.
So the actual accent color on the building is this color. And what we added down here are just some potential ideas for those art totems, for the bright colors that would be on that one solid panel in the art totems.
Oh, I see.
And how the art totems relate to, you know, it adds a little bit more oomph to the more refined neutral palette for the artwork in the plaza.
Okay, so all the color combinations, we'll get the white frame, that's the little horizontal.
This is our window trim that
okay,
we changed.
Okay, so the trim that surrounds the windows is always that darker.
Yeah.
Was it, that?
It's
that,
this one.
That one right there,
yeah.
Okay.
And this is the base siding.
That's the 11-inch exposure?
Yes.
Okay. And then we do see, that middle gray trim against the wood grain.
Yes.
We'll see it there.
Yeah, so you always have this contrast.
Okay.
Of the siding.
And the trim, is it... 5/4 by 4.
This 5/4 by 4.
Just
hardy
picture
painted.
Framed.
Yes.
Mitered corners. And
we don't typically miter the corners because it's not a great water detail, but it'll be box framed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the fiber cement panel or lap or anything else butts up with just caulking up against that 5/4 typically.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
At the sides, it'll be flashing at the top.
Yeah. And the 11-inch is still a lap situation?
Yes, it's a lap siding, even though it doesn't quite show that way in the rendering, but it is and that's a standard hardy profile.
Yeah, the 5/16.
Yes.
Okay. The rendering sure make the 11-inch exposure stuff look really dark and chocolatey, but that's truly the
yes, that is the
color there. Okay. Okay, that's truly all I have, Brad. I will.
As thorough as always, you guys took all of mine. If there's no other questions from the board, we can take any questions and comments from the public. If they want to step up to the podium, and please give us your name and address.
Oh, sorry, I stand corrected on colors.
Okay.
So. This is the window frame. This is the window trim.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This color down here, which from my distance with my glasses on, I thought was another brick. That's the lower siding color.
Okay.
So the lower siding color does match up with the brick color and chocolatey accent color window and trim.
So there's,
so there's a darker trim that's relating to the brick.
And then the lighter taupey beige, that's the field color
that's
for
the
we have a lot
field,
of the
yeah.
Okay. So the dark trim against the 11-inch lap is there's not a lot of contrast there, but it's a little
there's
bit.
There's a little bit of contrast, and then you'll have the white frame.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if we have a good rendering that maybe here it shows it. Yeah, so on here, yeah, there's not as much contrast for the actual trim itself, but you get the contrast with the white then relates to the white above.
Public comment?
Good evening. My name is Scott Perry. I represent Ortho Washington, which is the orthopedic surgery center and clinic just south of the property. So my question is, how does or how might the pedestrian walkway on the southwest corner of the property change if there is no public access between there and the village at Totem Lake?
Well, it just depends on when. I think it's more of a question of when it would occur.
When what would occur?
When a public pathway would occur.
Well, it's private property there, so let's assume that there's no access granted. I'm just wondering how the walkway down to that property line might change if there is no access granted.
I think we're we might have a slight realignment that might occur. I think the pedestrian path does terminate at the very corner. Mm-hmm. So it has the ability to be picked up by probably the two southern properties right there.
And so just to clarify, the pathway, the mid-block pathway is a code requirement that we are required to have for this zone. With the idea that future development would then link up to it down to the villages. So our direction was, because we, again, don't know when or if it will ever be developed to the south, was to take it all the way down to the southwest corner of our property. That way, depending on which property potentially will develop, it could pick up. And then, again, it's not a complete dead end right now because of the Lennar property has a path. The proposed Lennar property has a pathway that goes to 128. So there's still, you know, a circulation that's happening even if this never goes through. We will also have, we have ground level units at the south end that will help kind of oversee and kind of eyes on the street survey that area so it doesn't become a place, a pathway that we're leading people to just hang out. So,
as I recall, the testimony at the last public meeting also noted there's a fair amount of traffic that goes to Lakeshore Clinic that would use
right.
this path, so it wouldn't go south necessarily, but it would go west.
It'd cut across, yeah.
But the questioner, the speaker, I'm not sure he understood that that property to the south, when it was, if it was to be redeveloped, this would be a requirement under certain circumstances that it would be connected.
Yeah, that's correct.
And we want to make sure that until such time that the pathway, if it ever connects through, that I guess the question is whether or not we can put a gate or we can perhaps even terminate the pathway short of that so that it doesn't become folks trespassing on the neighbor's property. You know, there's some way that we can actually terminate it until it has a connection, because that could be a concern for folks trespassing.
Yeah, I think the gate is a viable option, probably not terminating it short, because then that would require somebody to
come back
on
later.
The property in the future,
okay.
as opposed to removing a gate
okay.
by the south property owner with redevelopment.
Okay.
But it's probably worth collaboration with Lakeshore Clinic to find out what their desires are, because if they would like their staff to use it, then maybe there's a way to facilitate that with improvements on their site that they could undertake.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and with that, we can move into deliberation and comments from the board on the proposed changes, you know, from the last meeting 2 weeks ago. We've kind of already gotten started on our comments and thoughts on the public plaza. Does anyone kind of want to go further into that? Are we happy with it? Want to kind of find a hybrid between the two?
I think option two is good. They're both much better, and by virtue by the driveway being moved 8 feet, I guess it was south, mm-hmm. that gave the opportunity to make the public pathway look like a continuous pathway. Mm-hmm. It's much improved.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
The only thing I, maybe it's more of a question than a comment, and I like the preferred one too, the organic plaza design. The only thing that kind of jumped out at me is with the little group, the two three-dimensional totems there, and maybe it's just, looking at it in a rendering, trying to visualize it. Because one thing I did like about option one is these little totems are off on the side, so it makes it a pretty clear, obvious, walkway down to the stairs and all that. I don't know if anyone had any, had the same feelings now about that being right in the middle versus finding a way of scooting it over towards the edge, whether it was towards the end of the bench or the north end of the bench there, or something like that. That was honestly my only real, for myself, only real detraction on option two. But I mean, other than that, I thought it was real nice.
Yeah, now I'm looking at it, it does kind of block views from the bench to the fireplace, but kind of fine tuning like that, I suppose they can do, on their own to best determine where to locate it.
In planning in the book, I liked the organic until I saw the video, and also the paired totems. They're kind of just sort of gotten away visually for me, and I was wondering, and I know this is just, they're kind of placeholders, but maybe that's an option for the varied height. Maybe it's even take one of them and put it out at the start as kind of a double bookend, and then have a single one that may be sort of at the center point of the radii of the of the curvilinear element, and it may be, if it's shorter, it's just less visually, in the way. But I think certainly when you get to that point, you start to see the ones below, and I think that's very strong and effective technique there. I know the screens are all the way through the project are still kind of placeholders in concept, but I think the devil's in the details, how they, if they're powder coated, the 3D totems are not welded. I don't think they'd be welded and then powder coated, especially with the third panel in there. So it's kind of a question of are they clips? Are they, even the big ones at the basketball court there at the fire lane, they're probably thicker gauge screens, and how do they mount in the frames? How does that all happen? I think is a real key thing that the pedestrians are going to see, and it really can work or kind of get, oh, that didn't work so well. The 3D totems, I think, probably are a little easier to construct, maintain, structure. They're a little bit more, instead of just the thinner or less wide ones, it's a really secure moment connection right there into that concrete. And if something happens or somebody gets rambunctious or whatnot, that's a really critical attachment versus a real stable three-dimensional clip to, a solid chunk of concrete. So, like I say, I initially thought, boy, that organic looks great. And then I saw the walkthrough, and it was like, those are right there in the way when you're starting to walk to head to the stairs. I do really like the resolution of the public versus private with the moving the fireplace forward, and sort of the private entry to that is not so close to the front corner. I think that works really well. And the fact that it can be gated at hours for, you know, tenants only, I think works really well. Additionally, the only thing, this is really weird and picky, but the handrail as you go down the stairs, I was the one who commented on the left-hand one, you know, your knuckles up against the formboard concrete.
It's modeled too close to the wall.
But, and I understand, it'll be far enough away. It's the one on the other side. Why does that not just come, you know, out of the top of a concrete, you know, wall like oftentimes you see? Instead, there's a whole lot of metal going on there. And again, I know this is really early. It's just
it can be definitely refined to be just, it's a guardrail, it's a handrail and a guardrail, which is why we have the multiple horizontals because of the drop off.
We're falling more than 30.
We'd have to double check. That is the code requirement. But as we go down the stairway, I believe at the base,
the grading falls off. Yeah. So we do have So it's a guard and a handrail.
But it certainly could terminate at the top. The handrail itself and the extension can terminate in the same way on both sides, whereas right now it looks like we have a 12-inch kind of extension and the other one goes down to the ground, but we can be consistent in that handrail termination.
Because at the top, there's a planter enough there that there's no guard needed as we start
Correct.
To curve linear elements.
Correct.
Okay. It's just, it caught my eye and I'm sort of stuck right there. While I'm jabbering on, I do like the resolution of the, I think Dave was the one who had commented on the big brow, the white brow at the top, and I like the way that it's been resolved on both the east, that east elevation with, again, it's part of it's the additional contrast in the field elements with all the windows. I think that helps. And I didn't really like any of the options for resolving that northwest corner. I think the strong brow kind of also reinforces what Lennar was doing, but doesn't copy it directly.
Exactly.
So I'm fine with that part of it.
I'm okay with those two. I still am a little concerned about the brows at the corners, but we'll see how it turns out. And Lennar, I was concerned before and expressed a concern about how white this color would be, and what was thinking whether what kind of maintenance problems there will be. And I looked up Lennar, and they're the building that's next to this, the white is a Sherman Williams, it's called as an aesthetic white.
Yeah, it's
and
aesthetic
the reproductions
white.
I could get off the web showed it not to be as stark a white.
That is
Did
correct.
You comment? Is
yeah,
that
so
right?
that so we pulled all of Lennar's color swatches when we selected our colors.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic white is got a touch more gray to it,
yeah.
So it felt less crisp. So we wanted more contrast with our white and to be different. So we felt like theirs already looked kind of pre-dirtied, if you will. So we wanted to start with a more
crisp.
Is
there a problem with a color like this actually showing dirt? I don't have any idea. I mean, any practical problems with such a bright color?
I don't think so. I don't think that the subtle differences between the two shades of the Lennar project and ours would be enough to know, except that hopefully, like in ours, we wanted to have a little bit more contrast and crispness to it.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll jump in and say, too, since it's it was probably my biggest sticking point at the last meeting, with the planters and the benches and, you know, interfered with the eave down along 128th, and so I really like how they've addressed that that condition there, and as well as the entrance to the actual entrance into the apartments. I think it's a little more distinguished and highlighted than it was before, and just pulling out some of the detailing like we just went through, you know, pulling the brick out a little bit more. Recessing the benches back in, I think all of that adds a little, aesthetically adds a lot of value to how that looks along 128th, and even just from the practical point of view of the pedestrian experience walking down along underneath underneath the canopy there, I think, will be a lot more positive.
Yeah, as I say, I think God is in the details, and I think all the little, small, subtle changes that they've done over the last couple of weeks has really shown. All their responses, you know, to my comments, I'm happy with. I agree with pretty much all their preferred options, all the contrast. Yeah, I don't need to run through everything, but a lot of the contrast, the brickwork, how they resolved the parapets, I think it's successful, and I'm happy with it. Well, if we don't have any other comments or items that we want to see, you know, continued on the building, I would entertain motion.
I move for approval.
Second.
If I could ask one thing, just to specify approval with the preferred options being your options of choice.
Mm-hmm.
For
okay.
Clarity.
Do we, I guess, do we have to say, do we like the three-dimensional totems versus the slab or the... Is that one that we...
Yeah, I think that's probably something we should clarify for the okay. applicant. Can we... does the board have a consensus on that?
I would say I like the 3D elements.
Me too.
Better,
yeah, me
personally.
Too.
And even though I blurted out second when we were charging for
it,
do we need to clarify? There was some mention of whether the having a single or two totems there in the middle or from a...
Or the height of them.
Or the height, you know, I don't know if there's anything to toss on there for a condition, or just it's enough that our comments make them aware of it.
Let staff be
That's a staff
responding
level thing
to
at
it
that
or
point. So
is that a big enough?
I suspect that the architectural team will continue to refine it and look at final placement. To me, it almost makes sense to if a little bit of that can be done in the field. Also, and staff can participate in that. If anything substantive changes, we can consult back with the board. But if you're comfortable letting that ride with some of the other decisions get made along the way, then we're okay with that.
I guess as long as the board all agree with our comments on that, I mean, you heard them, so
yeah.
I would be comfortable with that.
I'm fine with the 3D totems as well. So, so I'll move for approval with the conditions that we accept their preferred alternatives for the building massing, which was the northwest corner with the white brow, the changes in the window trim, window color, and I think that was it on those,
yeah.
And then the change to the east elevation, and the change to the preferred option for the storefront recesses and the brick pilasters pulling out, and the option two, the organic for the plaza with the paving that we've seen in the drawings. So that's my motion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion for approval. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Project is approved. Does the applicant have any other questions or guidance they'd like to ask from the board, or you guys feel good moving forward?
I think we feel good moving forward, so thank you.
Thank you. All right, final item on the agenda, not terribly exciting but important, is approval of minutes. I don't know if the board's had a chance to go through them all. Perused them. I didn't see anything I objected to. Tim, Nolan?
I saw nothing that was...
I didn't get to them,
Dave?
But I'm willing to go ahead anyway.
So,
all right.
I'll move to accept minutes as written.
Second.
All right. Motion to approve minutes as drafted. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Jeremy, I think that's everything from us then.
No administrative issues. We'll be back on June 4th with a new conceptual conference for you in the Totem Lake neighborhood.
Whoa. Another one in Totem Lake?
There's more.
Totem Lake.
Onward and upward, okay. In that case, with no other agenda items.
I'll take them all. I'll move for adjournment.
Those in favor?
Mm-hmm. If anyone hasn't signed Initiative 1631, which is a fee on greenhouse gas sources, mm-hmm. I've got it here. You're welcome to sign it.
Yeah, that's something, that's a good idea. Yeah, we should all take a look at that after the meeting is adjourned. So we have a motion on the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Meeting is adjourned.
Great.
All right.